collapse appeared. I had a knowledge gap. Well, what does that mean? What does collapse mean? So there was a knowledge gap. What's happened? The distance gap opened up. I'm in Thailand. She's in Australia. And I couldn't just hop in the car and go there. And the cheapy ticket I had, you couldn't do anything with, you know. And so this distance gap opened up. And then suddenly realized the time gap, the difference in time and who to wake up and who to talk to about what was happening. And these gaps just suddenly opened up like there'd been an earthquake. This gap opened up there. And suddenly anxiety flooded into the gap. Because I suddenly realized that here was the place I wanted to be, but here was the place I was really at. This was the place I had to rise to, but my capacity was down here. And this gap opened up, and anxiety flooded the gap. And suddenly the definition of anxiety came to my mind, that when there is a gap between that which I have to do and that which I'm able to do, into that place, anxiety wants to flood in. When I have a bill that's this much and my bank balance is this much, there is a gap and anxiety floods in. When there's an emotional capacity that I have to reach in my relationship and it's here, but my reserves are down here, then anxiety about my relationship floods in. And I suddenly realize there's the definition of anxiety, the gap that's appeared. And I guarantee you it happens, if not every day, then every second day somewhere that we meet a deficit gap in our life, in our capacity, into which anxiety wants to flood. Are you with me? Amen. Happens to us all, doesn't it? And so I thought, so I sent off some texts and some emails and so forth. And as I was going down to go to the next session in the meetings there, wasn't much else I could do. Somebody said to me, "What's wrong, Ian?" And I suddenly realized that they must have seen the anxiety on my face or in just the way I was conducting myself. And I stopped and I thought, that's not what I want in my heart. So I went back upstairs and I opened the scriptures, should have done in the first place, and went to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. And that's where Jesus was speaking about the needs that we have in life. What shall we wear and where shall we live and what will we eat and all the things that bring anxiety to people. And right in the middle of the passage, these 10 verses where he deals with anxiety, he says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life." Another translation say, "Do not be anxious about the things of life." And as I was sitting there reading it, I was thinking it's okay for you to say. But it wasn't just a throwaway line for Jesus. Now remember, this was the God-man who stood in the marketplace, was perceptive of people, saw the anxiety on their faces about the everyday issues of life and finances and relationships and securities and health and all the things that come. He's the one who heard anxiety in the tone of their voices. And he's the one who stood in the marketplace, in the gathering place, when it was the most people there and said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He was moved. He was moved by the plight of humanity. He didn't just throw away euphemisms or wise sayings. He was moved out of who he was. He was the one who sat on the hill overlooking Jerusalem and with sorrow in his heart said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you turned to me, I would have taken you like a chicken that takes its chicks and protection under its wings, where there's a place of security and serenity and anxiety is pushed away. If only." This was the heart out of which he spoke here. He was a moved man. And he says, "I tell you, do not worry, do not be anxious." Why was he saying this? Because it's not good for us. Anxiety is not good for us. Worry is not good for us. It's not good for us physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. It's not good for us, and he cares for us. He was saying, Don't play on the freeway. Do not play on the freeway. A truck will hit you. Do not go into the place of anxiety. A truck will hit you. It's not a good place for you to live. Earlier this year, as I was doing some weights in the gym, note to self, when you're over 60, don't do free weights, use the machines. And one of the weights shifted, and I tore a tendon in my shoulder. It was very painful. You know, I couldn't pull the seatbelt down. I couldn't tuck my shirt in. I had to find new ways to get dressed. I went to the doctor, and I said, "Doctor, when I do this, it hurts." You know what the doctor said? "Don't do that." He thought he was a comedian there and doing a Henny Youngman joke there, you know. But Jesus is saying, it hurts, don't do it. He said, well, it's difficult. I fall into it because there is this gap that suddenly yawns between where I have to go and what I have to be able to go there with. Every day, something happens. When I worry, it hurts me. Jesus says three times in that passage, he says, do not worry. Do not worry, do not worry. And so I gather it's important. And the other thing I gather is that it's doable. Jesus doesn't throw out trite lines. He doesn't hold a carrot in front of us just to keep us going. He actually says that it's doable. When he asks us to do something, it's doable. Praise God for that. And that came to my heart as I was sitting there and just praying. And so the first thing that he says is anxiety, anxious living does not achieve anything. Worrying does not work. Who of you, by being anxious, have been able to add an hour to your life, Jesus says, or a day? In fact, you're more likely to take it away just through the stresses on your body and on your mind, on your spirit, on your relationships. Somebody, of course, said, "Don't you tell me that worrying doesn't help. Everything I've ever worried about has never happened." Some of us are awake. But you know, whether it's real or perceived, worry about real or perceived things will have the same effect on your body, your soul, and your spirit. And so Jesus said, don't do it at all. Do not be anxious about anything. And so Jesus spends these 10 verses here dealing with the addiction of anxiety that is in our society today. The gap that occurs. Now, the Bible teaches us a lot about this gap, teaches us a lot about it and how to deal with it and what to do with it, because God cares for us. We see again and again through the Scriptures examples of it. And when David, that young man, turned up on the battlefield one day to bring supplies to his brothers, he noticed that the Israelites, the soldiers, were hiding in the trenches, and across the valley there was someone yelling out a challenge and a threat, and the people in the trenches, the Israelites, were absolutely anxious and worried and were just hiding from life. Because they were 5'9" or 5'8" or 5'10", and across the valley there was somebody who was 9 foot plus. There was a gap between their size. There's a gap between the Israelite soldier and Goliath, the champion. And that gap worried them. There was a gap between their capacity in battle and the champion's capacity in battle. And that gap worried them and produced anxiety in their life. And they did not feel that they could meet the challenge. And listen to me, when anxiety floods in the gap, there is a decision paralysis that occurs in your life. You don't move forward. You're worried about moving forward. You just move in the circles of your life where it is. You don't move forward. You don't engage with the solutions. You're afraid to step out and to move on. And that's what was happening to the Israelite soldiers. Their decision paralysis had set in and nobody moved, and it was a stalemate in life. And there was no movement happening. That can happen in our relationships, in our health, in our faith, in our vision. It can happen in all areas of our life when anxiety floods into our life. Can you see that? When Jesus said to the disciples, there are 5,000 people here, I want you to feed them, because he had compassion in his heart. He's moved by the plight of people. He said, I want you to feed them. And so they gathered a few loaves and a few fishes, and they looked at the few loaves and the few fishes, and they looked at the size of the crowd, and the gap worried them. Suddenly, the gap produced anxiety, and they went to Jesus and said, Even a year's wage couldn't feed all these people, and you want us to do what? Decision paralysis. There was nothing. They could not fulfill the commands of Jesus, because the difference between the size of the crowd and the size of the provision was too great. When they woke Jesus up in the storm and said, don't you care that we're going to die? Look at the size of this storm and the size of our boat. The gap in the difference produced anxiety. Look at the power of the storm and the power of our arms. They are insufficient. And so, don't you care? And so anxiety flooded into that place. Again and again through the scriptures, we can see this happening. Gaps. The world tries to deal with the symptoms of those gaps. Beyond Blue is an organization in our society that deals mainly with men's depression. And I'm not saying that all anxiety leads to depression, but some anxiety certainly does. And they recognize that now, and they're starting a program to deal with anxiety so that people don't get to the point of depression. But again, they're dealing with symptoms, but I thank God that in this passage that we have today, Jesus deals with the cause and doesn't just try to deal with the symptoms. Because the world does try to deal with the symptoms, because some of the things that people do, and maybe you and I do it at times as well, is that when the gap yawns, what we do is we try to fill it with all sorts of things. We fill it with people, we fill it with events, we fill it with sound, we fill it with music, we fill it with talk. But then at night, when that's all gone, the gap's still there. We still face the reality tomorrow in our relationships, our finances, our health, and our hopes and dreams and whatever it might be. The gap's still there. Some people pull down the size of the gap by bringing down their aspirations, by bringing down their hopes, by bringing down the vision, by bringing down the what might be. And they settle for less in their relationships and their existence and their lifestyle. They settle for less. So that by that way we reduce the gap, and therefore we have less anxiety. But it's still dealing with the symptoms and not with the cause of the anxiety in the first place. We see that happening around us, isn't it true? And so, in this passage, Jesus begins to deal with the root cause of the issue. And he says this. He says, anxiety is how the pagans live. Anxiety is how the unbelievers live. That's the place that people with no faith live. And so suddenly we realize that it's not actually an anxiety gap, but it's a faith gap. God doesn't tell us to live without the gaps, but he tells us to not let anxiety fill it by filling it with faith to begin with. If we fill the gap with faith, that's how we begin to walk in strength. It's how we begin to see things done. It's how we attain vision. It's how we move forward. It's how we grow. Not by diminishing the gap, by letting the gap be there, but filling it with faith rather than let anxiety flood into that place. So Jesus says now, the problem is not that it's a gap for anxiety, but that it's a no faith gap. That's what he begins to teach us here. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a Christian apologist, said, anxiety is characteristic of the Gentiles or the unbelievers, for they rely on their own strength and work instead of relying on God. When you rely on your own strength and work, you will eventually come to the end of yourself, and there is still a gap. When you come to the end of your intelligence, there is still a gap. When you come to the end of your finances, there is still a gap. When you come to the end of the clever people that are your friends, there is still a gap. When you come to the end of your personality traits, there is still a gap in life. And so Jesus recognizes this, and he basically says, stop treating just the symptoms and treat the disease, the real need that's there. When I went to the doctor and was talking to him about it. He said, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "I want you to fix it. That's why I'm here." He said, "Well, I want you to understand that we only fix about 15% of problems. The other 85%, we just deal with the symptoms. We just try to help you manage the symptoms. We can only really, really deal with the cause of 10 to 15% of illnesses and diseases that come around. We have a knowledge gap. We have a capacity gap as well. And so, but we begin to understand that when we're talking about the need for faith here, that the symptom of our society is anxiety today. The symptom of our society is anxiety today. Because the disease today is godlessness. When God goes out of the nation, faith goes out and anxiety floods in. The symptom is anxiety, but the disease is godlessness. And the answer and the remedy is faith. That's what Jesus tries to teach us here. And we know it, and we need to teach ourselves and teach others as well. When Jesus was there with the people, the 5,000 that he told his disciples to feed, and they came up to him and said, "We can't." He said to them, "Oh, you of little faith." Because he said, the problem is not the size of the crowd, it's the size of your faith. The issue is never with the size of the issue, but with the size of the faith. The problem is never the size of the giant, but the size of our faith. And when he was with them in the boat and they woke him up, and what did he say to them after he stilled the storm? "Oh, ye of little faith." He said the problem isn't in the size of the storm and the magnitude of the storm and the power of the storm. The issue is in the size of your faith and the magnitude of your faith and the power of your faith. That's the issue he's trying to teach them. Because God wants us not now to allow anxiety to flood into the gap, but for us to put faith into that gap through reading the Word of God, through talking to people who have testimonies about the faith of God, to listening to the Word of God, to praying faith into that place, prophesying faith into that place. And so we begin to put faith into that area and that realm so that now God can work. And suddenly where our capacity lack is, God makes up the difference. Now there is no longer a decision paralysis, but faith in that place is now a decision motivator. We can now move forward. We can now take a stand. We can now believe. We can now take one foot in front of the other. We can dare towards vision. We can hope towards health. It's all towards and it's all movement in that situation. John Piper in his book said that the most basic battle of our life is the battle to believe the living God, because the root of anxiety is unbelief. But when we can put faith into that place, it shows us the difference. When David turned up to the battlefield and Goliath was there, he basically said, "What's the problem? See, can't you see the giant?" See, the thing is, we all see the giants. David saw God. And so he didn't see the gap between himself and Goliath. He didn't see the difference in size between himself and Goliath. He didn't see the difference in battle prowess, which was different to killing the lion, but in battle prowess between himself and Goliath. He didn't see the gap between him and Goliath. He saw the gap between Goliath and God. And the gap between Goliath and God was much greater than the gap between him and Goliath. He said, "It's not me that should worry, it's you that should worry, because I come to you in the battle name of God." And so it's not when we look at a problem and an issue, our God is greater. When we look at a problem and an issue, our God is more able. When we look at a problem and an issue, our God is more capable. We need to see the gap between the issue and God. Because all things are possible for God. God can harden resolve, and God can soften hearts. God can send a dream in the night that can turn a thing around like that. God can send a miracle by the day, and he can send a job offer by the evening. Nothing is impossible with God. When we have done all that we can and then put faith in the gap, that's the place God wants us to live. Not to diminish the hopes and dreams and allow ourselves to live in anxiety, but to live in the place where faith can See, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, that it's the stuff, you know, it's the stuff of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is the stuff with which God builds your hopes and dreams. It's the stuff that He needs to work with. We can, and so when we give God a little bit of faith, you build the dog kennel. Much faith, you get the garage. Great faith, He can build the house. And Jesus was always looking for great faith. Jesus got so excited by great faith when He saw it. Faith like this I haven't seen anywhere before. He got so excited by it because He knew that the kingdom would build through that. He knew that people's lives could be transformed through that. He just looking for it all over the place, but lamented little faith because it didn't make the gap. And that's what He was looking for in life. And it's the basic battle that we work on all the time. When George Mueller, who is a missionary that was not supported by his denomination, felt from God he had to go and become a missionary and look after children, look after orphans and so forth, he went anyway by faith. But it taught him every day the need for the Word of God, every day for praying the Word of God, every day for rehearsing the prophecies that he'd been given, every day walking by faith and trusting God and nothing else, because there were these mouths to feed and there was these little lives to raise. And so he went out there and he'd tell stories of times when there was no food in the house, but he'd prayed already and believed. The whole ministry and life was birthed in that. And so here, to him, there was no gap. Just because there was nothing in the cupboard didn't mean there was a gap. Just because there was nothing on the table didn't mean there was a gap. Just because the kids were getting ready for a meal and there wasn't one, there was no gap. And he would tell the children, set the table for the meal when there was no meal. He would tell the children, wash up for the meal when there was no meal. He would tell the children, sit down at the table for a meal when there was no meal. He would tell the children, give thanks for a meal when there was no meal. And then the knock would come at the door and the lady down the road with a cauldron of soup would come in. And the Lord just spoke to my heart to bring you this food, because there is no gap when we believe. And again, he was in that position. And friends, let me just say as an aside that anxiety should never touch our house to the point the children should feel anxiety. The children of our household should know faith and not anxiety. They should know faith and not fear. They should learn about faith in the gap and not anxiety in the gap, whether it be relationships or health or vision or home or whatever it might be. That's the place where we teach faith and not fear. Amen? And so he teaches us these things in our life so that there is no decision paralysis, but rather a decision motivator that comes into our life. When my wife and I were at Bible college quite a few years ago in the 70s, I got sick of just sitting in the college and just taking in. I wanted to give out, so I looked around for a little church that might give a Bible college guy a student a go, you know. And I found a church about 4 hours away, and they were just about to close, about 15, 16 people left. And I figured, well, they might give me a go, you know, what have they got to lose? And they did. And so we'd bundle up the kids every night, put them in the car, and we only had two of the little ones then. And we'd drive 4 hours, stay with people, we'd preach on the streets, we'd teach leadership, we'd get the Sunday school going, we'd do the services, you know, whatever, come back really late the Sunday night. And we were driving a Charger, and Valiant Charger. Now, that might mean nothing to some of you, but one day as I was driving alone, thank God I was by myself, the front just fell out of it. And I mean, I was literally on the chassis, you know, sparks and all. And so I went to the garage, and they just laughed at me and said, "Forget it, it's gone." And so I said to my wife, "I don't know what we're going to do, because we don't have any money. We've paid our tuition up front. We sold our house, and I have no job, and we're Bible college students. How can I go to the bank to get some money? My dad had just gone guarantor for my brother to buy a house, and so there's no money there. And so what do we do?" So we prayed about it. And, because Jesus said in this passage that the unbelievers have no faith, but you are different. You seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first His priorities. You seek first His kingship. You seek first His oversight. You seek first His will. And so that's what we do instead of worrying. And so we began to seek the Lord about that. And I said, you know, I really still feel to go to the bank manager. This could be very embarrassing. But I went and I told him the reason and the predicament. You know what the bank manager said to me, don't you? You know, he said, praise God. That's what he said. I thought, hello. You know, hello. When a bank manager says that to you, you know. He said, I'm wondering why I am in this backwater up in the Blue Mountains, in this hole is what he called it, when I'm usually headquarters in Sydney, but I was rostered months ago. I want you to get that. I was rostered months ago, months before my car fell apart. I was rostered months ago to come here and fill in for 2 weeks, and now I know why. You should not get this loan, but you'll get it because God put me here to give it to you. And so when we allow faith to get into the gap rather than anxiety, that's God already knows. God already knew the morning of that meal that the children needed. God already knows. He knows the situation. That's what it says in this passage. Our Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Our Heavenly Father knows the needs in your relationships, the needs in your health, the needs in your finances, the needs in the vision that He's given to you, whether corporately as a church or individually at home. He knows the needs because He sees our life and He cares for us, and He's looking for faith to be thrown as a heap into the gap so He can do something with it and take us to the point of our incapacity, but where He is well able. Can you see that? That's what He needs in our life. Do not be anxious about anything. Anxiety has components of insecurity, helplessness, and isolation. You know, I'm insecure. Man, something bad is going to happen. You mark my words. Something bad is going to happen. Oh, I can't see any good coming out of that. Oh, I don't know, Pastor. You know, and again and again. The glass, half empty. People, the insecurities of life, the insecure, and then the helplessness. There's nothing I can do about it. Don't expect me to help you. There's nothing I can do about it. The helplessness that comes into the sense of anxiety there and the isolation, and there's no one there to help me. That's why I'm amazed that the Apostle Paul, as I close in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he was in this position. Something bad had happened. He was in jail. There wasn't anything he could do about it. And he was alone, a place of anxiety. But he writes and he says, 1 Corinthians 10, 12, forget about self-confidence, it's useless. This is the one of the translations. Cultivate God-confidence. No trial that comes your way is beyond what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Step out into the gap. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. Step out into the gap. He'll always be there to help you through. Step out into the gap. Emphasis my additions. Step out into the gap. He'll never let you down. Step out into the gap. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. Step out into the gap. He'll always be there to help you through. Step out into the gap. You know, some people say, what's the point of God if I got to go through the same things everybody else has got to go through? Well, you know, God doesn't do magic, first of all. And secondly, have you ever seen God's through? God's through is a whole lot better than our through. Have you ever parted the Red Sea? Have you ever pulled down the walls of cities? Have you ever shut the mouths of lions? Have you ever thrown open prison doors? God does all those things to get us through the night or through the problem or through the issue. God's through is much greater than our through. But we need to give Him the faith to work with. A John Hopkins University professor wrote, we don't know why it is that warriors die sooner than non-warriors, but it's a fact. But I think we are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, he says, for faith and not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality. Worry is the sand in the machinery of my life. Faith is the oil in the machinery of my life. Worry is the smog in the air of my life and I can't breathe, but faith and trust clears the air and I can take a deep breath again. It's how I'm designed to live. I'm designed to live by faith and not by worry. Amen? Amen? The Lord is near, therefore do not be anxious about anything. Every night I turn my worries over to God because the Bible tells me He's going to be up all night anyway. Amen? So if Jesus could be standing here and the Lord is with us, but if we could see Him, He would be here in this place and have the same heart as He had, when He was walking through the marketplace. He would understand the anxiety of your home. He would understand the anxiety of your living room and your kitchen and your bedroom. He would understand the anxiety of work and school. He would understand the anxiety of relationship and health. He would understand the anxiety of that which is past, present, and future. He understands, and He says to us, do not be anxious. Cast your anxieties upon Me. And come into a place where you have faith in your heart, faith in your talk, faith in your life, and don't be inhibited, but step forward in that faith and watch and see what I can do. It's not what He created people for, to live in the pattern of anxiety. He created people to live free and live holy and live with vision and live with hope and live with future. And He understands how retarded man has become, and He wants us to be free of that and to live in that freedom of not having that anxiety. Would you stand with me? And I encourage you this morning to begin to embrace a little bit of faith in your heart towards that circumstance and that situation that's in your life. Begin to see it. The thing that's had you going around in circles, even though there's a vision and maybe there was a hope and there was a vision, maybe there still is, but there's a gap that you can't fill, whether it's a health gap, a relationship gap, whether it's whatever area it might be, but it brings you anxiety. Jesus today cares for you. And I'd like you this morning, by faith, the beginning of faith in Him, to bridge two gaps. The first gap is the cynicism gap. Oh yeah, we've heard it all before. Ah yeah, it's okay. It's something that's preached. But really, really reach out to Jesus, the God-man who cares, cries out with the passion of His heart, come to Me. Trust in Me. Embrace Me in this. Let's move forward together in this. The second gap I'd like you to bridge this morning, if you would, is the distance gap. And as a statement of faith, from where you're sitting to where I'm standing, I know it might be difficult in these seats, but I'd like you to come and stand.